All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, October 23rd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a big 12-game NHL main slate this evening, as well as Thursday night football, and a 2-game NBA slate. We also had golf tee off earlier this morning, so good luck to all of you playing some DFS today. Should be a fun day. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all TFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, you can get your questions in the YouTube chat by posting them in the chat. You can email us support@sabersim.com, or third, you can post them in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up on the screen here, and I will get to Sharon in a second. All right, there's that. All right, and first question of the day, can you go through how to build a lineup pool of only a particular stack type in NBA Showdown? For instance, in NHL Showdown, if I want to look at a lineup of only five stacks, I can simply click the 4-2-3-3, and it gives me a pool of 5,000 lineups with those stacks. In NBA, I tried that, and the pool had 11% five stacks, and the rest were 4-2 and 3-3. Perhaps we're only 580 viable five-stack lineups, but why is it even putting the other stacks in the pool? Okay, good question. I'm not sure why you were experiencing this, so let's just go over to a showdown for NBA for tonight. So there's a couple different ways I would think about doing this. Just so you guys know, rules work better than unchecking stack types do. I'll explain why. So a rule basically goes in, if we think about like the process of you clicking build lineups to the lineups being generated, right? We think about that process like end to end. Rules go in at the beginning, okay? Rules are like the first thing that gets sent. Like, hey, we got these rules, guys. You know, we gotta hit these, okay? Now, where unchecking stack types comes in, it actually comes in at the end of the process, okay? So, like, what happens is the lineups get built. The lineups try to go into the pool, and then SaberSim says, oh, wait, we actually can't put this lineup in the pool. This lineup has been unchecked. Well, sometimes what can happen, at least in my experience, the way I've seen this happen, is the pool will not get to the number that you requested before the build times out. So, like, there's like a timeout on the builds. It can only run for like so long before the build ends. Well, what if the builder keeps generating 3-3s? So it generates a 3-3, we trash it. Another 3-3, we trash it. We're generating all these lineups and then having to get rid of them. Same thing for the 4-2s, right? We basically are building lineups and only accepting the 5-1s. So that can only be a small portion, right? That's the other way I've seen this work. I say that to say I think rules just end up being better. If you only want five ones, for instance, right? I would just write a rule and I would probably say group auto. No, I would maybe do a stack. What would I do? Okay, I think I would just write a rule that says use at least five per team, and then change position to any. So what this will do is like, hey, I want to use at least five players. Actually, I don't think this would work. Because I think what would happen if you tried this, what I think would happen is it would try to use five players per team, and it might break. So we might have to do this differently. If at least one, no. Jeez, that wouldn't work either. Okay, let's try a stack rule. There's not an any here. Okay, let's just try this. I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to try. We're just going to do a stack basic, stack at least five, and we're going to click save. Showdowns get tricky because the player positions are different. They're like their roster positions are captain or utility, but their actual basketball positions are obviously, you know, center, point guard, etc. Good news is that the lineups are actually building. So when the lineups are actually the progress bar is like going up, that means we didn't break anything. So like that's always a good thing. I'm going to cut this a little short here. Notice the builder runs a little bit slower when you give it like a restriction like that. That's okay. Okay. So we generated 253 lineups. And then they're all five stacks. So pool is 100% five stacks. So it's a very basic rule. I'm glad it worked. Just stack basic at least five, and then that will give you what you're looking for. I would just do that. I think it'll be way easier than some of your other options. All right. Got a little worried there. Not going to lie. All right. Next question. Can you break down the two-game NBA slate versus the 12-game slate and break down the flashback, give some tips on where to find EV? All right. So as far as like flashback goes, you know, I definitely do think it's good to study slates of different sizes, you know, because a 12 game slate obviously plays way different than a 2-game slate does. So like if we were to go back to yesterday, go back to this 12 gamer and, you know, maybe I look at the large field 150 max. And we'll let this load. While we wait for this to load, I'm going to answer this next question. Just out of curiosity, does the data show Sabre members that users win more with the Ultimate Sabre membership versus Classic membership? So the Ultimate membership is better in our back testing. Using the contest-specific ROIs to optimize lineups performs much better than using a kind of blanket simple sim ROI. That was something that was very clear in our back testing. Now, the way that we've kind of like positioned these is that, you know, the starter package is like really meant to help you get your first $1,000 win. That's like the big kind of hurdle that you're trying to clear. And after you do that, after you get that bankroll growth, after you get that first four-figure win, that's really when we would encourage you to consider moving up to Ultimate. So think about it kind of along those lines. All right. So we're looking at the 12 gamer, right? And maybe I just want to look at people who 150 max this. I want to sort by sim ROI. So some of the highest sim ROIs, like somewhere above 100%, 80% are like all like really good numbers. Now, what do we see here? Well, interesting that there is like a little duplication going on here, right? Even on like a big 12 game NBA slate, it was kind of a weird slate, right? Because PJ Washington was like mispriced and he was like 85% owned. You know, you're obviously not going to see that regularly. So kind of took a 8-man lineup and turned it into like a 7-man lineup, right? And then that's almost really close to like a showdown lineup, which is like 6 players. So I think last night was a bit of an anomaly in that regard. Now, as far as what do we see? And the best thing, in my opinion, is to kind of look at some high sim ROIs and then look at some lows. It's like what I'm noticing here is these high sim ROIers, okay, their average projection, pretty high, 49.7, 49.8, 49.9. Low, very low dupes in general. And then a sim average score, I don't know, somewhere between 266 and like 272, right? I see like a 266.9, maybe even 267. We'll say 267 to 272, okay? So I'm going to write this down. 267 to 272, low dupes, high salary. All right, and then if I go look, I'm just going to scroll down. You know, maybe I'm looking at somebody who's like even, right? Very like neutral sim ROI, kind of in this range. And what do we see down here, right? Well, first off, the first thing I see is a lot more duplication. You know, 6 average dupes, 7 average dupes, 3 average dupes, 5, 2, 1. And then the users who are unique, well, I see lower sim average scores, you know, 262, 263, right? So 258. So right off the bat, I can see some differences. You know, I can see where the differences are coming from. Like, hey, these users are duping too much or they're playing too low projected lineups. They need to have higher sim average scores and lower average dupes. You know, sometimes just comparing like, hey, well, what do the top lineups look like from like a macro perspective? And then what do lineups that are lower sim ROI look like from a macro perspective can give you some valuable insights. So that's what I'm seeing here on like this 12 gamer. So those are things I'd be aware of. Now going over to the 2 gamer, right? From the day before, we have another 2 gamer tonight. So good time to kind of look at this. And we're just loading up the 2 gamer. All right, here we go. Okay, so we'll go to the opening night tip-off. And we go to users. All right, so we're gonna look at 150 maxers, sort by sim ROI. All right, so what do we see on this 2 gamer, right? Well, I think it's very, very clear to me that duplication on 2 gamers is massively important, right? Like extremely important, 18 average dupes, 10, 13, some single digit. And remind you, these are for the best sim ROIs, right? I bet you when we scroll down here that the dupes are just going to increase for the lower sim ROIs, right? So I would be kind of approaching this 2 game slate tonight kind of like a showdown type where I need to be aware of my dupes and maybe my geo mean, maybe my sum ownership and maybe my salary, right? A lot of these players are still using high salary. So makes me think maybe salary adjustments aren't the best here, but there's a couple different approaches, right? Some of these users who still have like high sim ROIs, they have, you know, low dupes, low projection, right? 2 average dupes, 233 sim average score. And then some users have 18 average dupes with 239 sim average score, right? So you can kind of take it on like both sides of the spectrum, the low dupe, low sim average score side, or the high dupe, high sim average score side. So, and then as we scroll down, you know, the dupes just kind of get higher, 35, 40, 19. I see a lot more double digit numbers as we scroll down, like, and go lower and lower on the sim ROI. So it's always about just kind of balancing those things. And we see it, you know, on the 12 gamer, we see it on the 2 gamer. So those are the things I'd be thinking about, but definitely would recommend diving into Flashback and studying different slate sizes and kind of putting some notes together and, you know, keeping those handy when you see a slate and you can't exactly remember what you need to do, right? These are your process notes and allow you to make informed decisions. All right, next question. Is it better to go with straight Saber Sim lineups or should we make some modifications based upon other sources? If so, what percentage should be modified? Okay, good question. So let's go back to today. because the slate hasn't played yet. And we're just waiting for today's slate to load up. Looks like Snowman changed his name. Good morning. What's up, Snowman? Grant, what's going on, Grant? Jerry said, appreciate the info, been on Ultimate since day one, was just curious. Yeah, no problem. That's kind of a good little nugget. Saber Sim is hard to learn, but after you get it, winning will come. There's definitely a learning curve, you know, using Saber Sim. We understand that. I think that's why we have this show, you know, 6 days a week to try and help users to answer as many questions, do demos, you know, how to use Flashback, right? How to build lineups, like all the different kind of ins and outs. So always, you know, feel free to ask questions. And, you know, we have, you know, plenty of options about how to do that with support, with the in-app messaging, and, you know, hopefully one way, shape, or form we can figure out how to get you an answer to your question that's kind of holding you up. All right. Going back to this. So we'll just do this for NBA. Remember, the question was asking about, you know, should we just take SaberSim lineups or, you know, should we make modifications? It is totally fine. Totally fine to just take the lineups that SaberSim gives you. Remember that these lineups are going to be different for every other user because of the way our optimizer works. It's not a traditional optimizer. It's like a smart optimizer randomly sampling our sims and using different sets of sims for different users. And there's like exponentially high number of combinations of sims that we can pull. So you have no higher chance, in my opinion, of duplicating with another Saber Sim user as you do with any user in your contest. Like whenever I talk about duplication, I'm not talking about like within the small Saber Sim community. I'm talking about with all the users in the contests that you are playing. So it's totally okay to take the lineup Saber Sim gives you. Now, if you are doing research outside of the app and you want to account for it, it is okay to do that as well. You're not like, hey, maybe you're looking at other sources. Maybe you're reading stuff. Maybe you're listening to stuff. Maybe you know ball. Maybe you've seen this or that before and can remember the last time it happened. You know, we give you the opportunity to account for those things, right? And mostly in the form of min and max exposures. Max exposures, you know, control how many lineups a player is in, like on the high side, like you can lower it, or minimum, you can force players into your lineups. You can also adjust their projections, right? Hey, maybe I think this player is going to do better based on something I read or saw or heard. So you can increase their projection to tell SaberSim, hey, no, I actually think this player is going to score X points instead of Y points, right? So, you know, take advantage of these editable columns. They are there for you to tinker if you want to, or if you don't really have any opinions, right? Just be hands off and let SaberSim do the heavy lifting. That is totally okay as well. All right. Next question. Should I sort lineups using the old Saber score or regular Saber score options? So the reason that we introduced the new Saber score is because we did some back testing and the new Saber score is actually better than the old Saber score. Okay. So we would recommend using the new Saber score over the old Saber score. And then also, just so you guys know, in case you open up your pool, you see that the pool is sorted by old Saber score here. That actually is not a problem. Okay. The way the pool works is different now. The pool is just kind of, think of it as separate from your lineup groups, right? The pool lives like over here and the groups live like over here, right? The groups grab the lineups in the pool, take them back, and they resort the lineups themselves. So each group is grabbing the lineups in the pool and resorting it based on whatever is listed here, right? So even though the top pool is sorted by old Saber score, well, guess what? I'm resorting the lineups by projected score. Okay, great. Now I'm resorting the lineups by ownership, and I'm like changing them on the screen, right? When I'm using portfolio, I'm using new Saber score automatically, right? So the pool sorting, not as important as it once was. All right, next question. If I use true DFS projections with your Saber Sim for NBA and for late swap, you don't... Okay, so the question is asking about if you use true DFS projections, how will that interact with the live projections and the late swap projections? So the way this works is that if you have true DFS, Run Pure, Ship It Nation, any custom projections you have, those get used for the games that have not started. So let's do an example, right? We have a two-gamer tonight. It's perfect, easy. Let's say I upload projections, right? And I upload them and I have a bunch of, you know, red and green boxes here, right? So these are all your custom projections, okay? You build pre-slate. Then you go to late swap, right? What happens here is that we continue to use your custom projections for the games that have not started. So we are only going to use your custom projections for the Denver Golden State games. And that game hasn't started yet. We will automatically switch over to the live projections for the game that has started. The reason we do that is because you can't change those players anymore, right? You cannot move them in or out of your lineups. They are locked. The live projections are always going to be more accurate because they're taking into account what is literally happening in the game. You know, when Luka scores 40 points in the first quarter, in the first half, and he's projected for 50, well, guess what? You know, his projection is not 50 anymore. You know, it should be 60, 65, 70, right? So we're going to automatically use the live data for any locked games over any custom projection. So that means it's safe to continue to use your custom projections, because you should know that they're only being used for the games that haven't started. All right. If I make a custom metric that combines ownership, projected score, 99th percentile, et cetera, is there a way of going into past slates and determining how individual lineups scored on your custom metric? Yes, there is. The big thing with this, the big thing to be aware of, is going into the contest tab, going to the field lineups column, turning these toggles off. Okay, use live fields, use live sims. When these are active, we're going to use the live data, so it's going to give you inaccurate results. But when you turn these off, and then you go to any past slate and build lineups, you are generating lineups in a pre-slate environment as if the slate hasn't even started. So you can run builds on past slates, and test different metrics and things like that. And then the only thing that you want to do is make sure these toggles are off. All right, next question. How do you know when to use the uniques in your build, or is that something you use in particular contests? So we actually don't recommend using uniques. We recommend using the portfolio solver. So like when you load up Saber Sim and you go to build lineups, the groups that you see, and I'll just like delete this one because I messed around with it, will automatically switch to portfolio. You can manually change it to uniques if you want, but it's not our recommended lineup sorting metric, so to speak, here. So portfolio is better than uniques based on our back testing. So we would recommend sticking with that. All right. Is there a way to keep modified player projections when going from build to late swap? Yes, there absolutely is. So when you're in late swap, or when you go to late swap, okay, don't click on the late swap button right away. Instead, click on the gear icon on the late swap button, go to this settings section, and change this from default to the name of the build that you use. So for most people, it's going to be called build one, because that's just like the default. So you would open this drop down, select build one. It'll carry over everything from build one. It will carry over projection changes, mini max exposures, adjustments to your player pool, rules, filters, slider adjustments, mini max salary adjustments. It literally carries over everything from the player table. It doesn't carry over any filters or anything like that, but it will carry over everything else. So you'd want to take advantage of that. All right. I think we are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.